You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hey, are you ready for some football and lunch? Yes. Yes and yes. Enter the win lunch for you and a friend with a Browns alumni. Head to your local Cleveland Browns Arby's to find out how to enter. Arby's, slicing it up freshness. That's what they're doing.
They are. You got to love that. What's better than pigskin and pals, Vic? Sometimes I just don't know.
Slicing up freshness is what Arby's does. I screwed up the line the first time.
That's okay. We're just going to move right on. That's okay. It was nice to come back around. What we're going to do now, you know, after further review, you made a correction to your slicing up freshness line. And now we're going to do a little after further review with our great producer, Dino Dave DiNatale. Dino, let's play the game.
Let's do it.
After further review...
All right, guys, I need you to listen to this cut here, and then I'll ask you the question.
Okay.
This was a conference call from this morning from ESPN's draft analyst Todd McShay.
My point is there's not a player in this grade, in this class that's going to get a grade that is close to the one that Andrew Luck got. And, you know, maybe if Mariota continues to progress, maybe he gets a grade that's around the same as RG3. Teddy Bridgewater is probably going to be, you know, when it's all said and done, depending on where you graded him. But for me personally, probably going to be in the same range of grade that I gave Ryan Tannehill. So I think it's important not to confuse depth with quality.
So after hearing that, do you, I'm going to put a statement out there. The Browns will still draft a quarterback in the first round in the upcoming 2014 NFL draft.
Fact or fiction?
Fact. They will draft a quarterback. That's been the plan all along. But I respect Todd McShay's perspective on this. I think what Todd just said was very accurate, that at least for now, depth should not be confused for quality. I think that's the perfect way to sum up what this quarterback class of 2014 is all about.
It will be about finding the gem. Let's not forget, Colin Kaepernick was not a first-round pick. Russell Wilson was not a first-round pick. The onus will be, because I think Mariota, by the time we get to the draft, Vic, and he said could get a grade close to RG3. That's a good grade. That's going to be,
that's a great grade.
He's going to go one overall.
He's the one guy for right now, here and now, we're excited about. Great.
Right. But the problem is that the Jacksonville Jaguars are likely going to draft
him. Oh, yeah.
So he's not going to be on the radar. It's going to be a matter.
But I'm just talking, you know,
in general. No, I agree.
How you get there.
I want him. I want him. I'll take him right now. Yeah. So, yes, right. Fact, though, they will be drafting a quarterback first round. No doubt. No doubt in my mind.
After further review.
All right. After further review, to this point, the New Orleans Saints are the best team in the NFC. Is that
fact or fiction?
I'm going to have to say fiction. I don't believe that the Saints are the best. Now, Carly's really upset here. We've got Carly McCord, our intern, helping us in the studio, and she's from Louisiana. She's a Saints fan. She grew up a Saints fan. She's a Browns fan now, but she was definitely her NFC team. Hey, you got to have a team that you grew up with. So she's been encouraging with thumbs up, like, guys, right? I'm going to say no. I think there's some questions in the NFC in general, but most of them, to me, don't... They center around this. Even though they went and did their job, they did what they had to do against the Buffalo Bills team, that is the Buffalo Bills team, not playing at their level by any means, I still see some flaws, and I still see a team that can be beaten. Seattle has certainly given me some confusion about the NFC as well. I'll tell you the team that is still going to – there's two teams that I think in that NFC that ultimately are just going to steadily go on the path to success, and it's the 49ers and the Packers. Those are the two.
This is what I'll say. The 49ers can go in New Orleans and absolutely beat the New Orleans Saints playing that game, especially when they get Manningham and Michael Crabtree back. I don't think New Orleans can go into San Francisco, go into Green Bay, or go into Seattle and win. So unless they're the number one seed, I don't see them winning. I also, even if they are the number one seed, see a potential for them to lose. I think the 49ers are the best team in the NFC. They are only going to get better as they get some receivers back healthy. I think the 49ers are the team to beat. That's what I'm saying.
After further review.
Interesting quote from former Brown Josh Cribbs in Newsday, gentlemen. We're not the Browns, he told Newsday on Sunday. Of course, now he's with the Jets. We're not the team that gives up. We have to fight. We have fight in this team. Love it here. He also says, so last week against the Patriots proved to me that this is not the Browns. If we were, we would have lost those games.
Fact or fiction?
Was he misquoted?
Or is good that really day, Josh? Sir. That's good what day. I want to say yeah. to Josh Cribbs right now. This team has overcome adversity, Vic. The yeah. trade of Trent Richardson, they rallied to win three in a row, and I thought they put up a lot of fight against a very good Kansas City Chiefs team. I think that that is, I don't even know, fact or fiction, if the fact is that it's, Josh Cribbs said something he shouldn't have said, fact, fiction, that the Browns are and they're going to beat the Jets, and I can't wait for that game.
I can't speak to how he was quoted, obviously, you know, whether it was accurate or not. Let's just, that's the quote, and it came from him. I know he is given to being outspoken. I think that's been kind of Josh's way, so that much of it you would might say gives credibility to the fact that this is what he said. But why say it, and what's the point? I think he's worked on a cliche that isn't valid any longer. I think what Nathan just said about this Browns team, this is a different one that he was a part of. And if he wanted to specify and say the Browns teams I was on would have lost, maybe I would have given him a little leeway there, but I don't like that he took a gratuitous cheap shot at his former team. If you're unhappy with what happened in Cleveland and your situation, okay, you are, but there's no need to do that. And I know he has claims friends here on this club, and he's obviously, this is a town that he feels, I would think, very good about, because it was very good to him while he was here. So unnecessary, kind of silly. Sorry he did that.
All right. Next.
After further review.
Let's talk about the current Browns then. The defensive line of the Browns has been the best position group so far this season. Is that
fact or fiction?
That's a good one. I guess I got to say
line.
You said
D-line.
The D-line, not the front seven.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to say largely yes. Fact. Because I think on a game-to-game basis, they've done probably more to help the team be in a position to win games, win the ones they've won, be in a position to win some that they didn't win. And I don't think they've been like a major cause. Here's the other way of looking at it, the major cause of defeat, Nathan, in any way, real like big breakdowns.
Well, I think a lack of pressure on Aaron Rodgers, a lack of pressure on Matt Stafford certainly didn't help. I'm going to go a different.
But that's
I'm
the
gonna
front
go,
seven too.
I'm going to go fiction, and I'm going to say Jordan Cameron as the tight end group has been the best position group on
just
this
the one
team.
Man, just
Jordan
the one
Cameron
man.
By himself. He's a one man band, baby, and he's been dominant.
Yeah, I that's not one that you argue about certainly, but I don't think the D lines had, you know, real major
D-line
issues,
is right?
Right?
The D-line is right
there. It's been right there. And the numbers support it. They were more dominant a little earlier, but I don't think any of the success we've seen from Barkevious Mingo and from some of the other people that we've seen defensively happens without that D-line.
Fact or fiction, the safeties have been the position group that's exceeded expectations the most. I'm going to say fact.
Oh, I'm with you 100%.
Definitely.
Yeah, by a long shot. I was going to say Brian Baldinger.
How about that?
An outside
Ward.
Perspective identifies T.J. Ward. Some may argue with that, but he saw it, and I know he watched a lot of tape before that game, and that's what he came up with.
All right.
After further review.
This is a Josh Gordon trade rumor free edition of After Further Review. So I'm going to ask you guys. Jared Allen will be the biggest name dealt prior to the 4 o'clock deadline. Is that
fact or fiction?
Based on what we know so far, it's leaning toward fact, toward getting a deal done. Wow, the Vikings, 1-6, and just it's all come apart for them. And just the fact that they make a deal like this, I think is not... It's not a good look or a good situation for Leslie Frazier. I know this is a team, of course, the Browns beat earlier in the year. So I'm not sure what Jared Allen, by the way, does. I mean, he's got some ability to help people, but at this stage of his career, he would be a rental trade, I think. I'm not sure how much he's going
to... It's got to be going to a contender, somebody in the 4-3. Jay Glazer saying now that Seattle is not interested in Jared Allen, despite reports to the contrary. So that's something to keep an eye on. Now, the latest one, I'm going to say fiction. I think, and I hope this happens for him because he deserves it. I hope Tony Gonzalez gets traded out of Atlanta because this is his swan song. They have no chance to compete. Yeah. If I'm Green Bay and I just lost JerMichael Finley for the remainder of
that's
the season,
the guy you're getting.
I'm calling them and I'm saying, hey, how about Tony Gonzalez? If I'm Andy Reid in Kansas City, hey, this is you can't write this story. Come back to Kansas City,
man.
Play on an undefeated team that could use a tight end and an offense that would feature it if they had one. I think that's the trade that I want to see happen. Tony Gonzalez to either Green Bay or Tony Gonzalez going to Kansas City.
And finally,
after further review,
Browns come in now 3-5 on the season as we've reached the so-and-so midpoint of the season. They're going to go 5-3 in the second half. Is that
fact or fiction?
Wow. All right, we're going to have to do the...
Pull it out.
It's a win, dog.
It's a win, dog. Mike and Mike, let's go.
Let's do it. All right, let's start with Sunday. We think they're winning.
I'm sorry, Mad Dog. Mad Dog.
We're going to say they win Sunday?
Oh, that's a win, dog.
All right, so we'll say they beat the Ravens.
All right, so that's a win.
Are they winning at Cincinnati? That's a loss.
That's a very competitive loss.
All right, they're beating Pittsburgh here. They're beating Jacksonville here.
That's a win, dog. Win, dog.
So there's three wins we got for them.
That's three.
They're losing at New England.
That's a loss.
They're
beating the Bears.
They're beating the Bears?
They're beating the Bears at home.
Wow.
Jay Cutler, I'm assuming, will still be hurt. I'm just taking a leap of faith.
I'm going to call that one a loss.
You're calling that a loss. So, Dino, how many wins do we have?
That would be four wins there, Mr. Carucci.
Well, it has to be a consensus. This has to be a consensus, so I'm going to defer to Nathan on that. I'm not going to argue that the law. So it's four is all we got? We can get a fifth here in the last two.
Yeah, I was going to say. I think
they split.
At Jets or at Pittsburgh.
They split one of those.
Yep. So there's your five wins.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is that right? Hold on. One, two, three.
Four or five.
Four for sure. If it's five, that means they have to win.
Four for sure.
If it's five, they have to go.
You see how the schedule game is so silly? Yeah.
But
for sure.
I'm just saying if they go five, that means they have to win two out of three versus
the final three. If they win Sunday, we'll have.
That's a win, dog.
It's a different. We'll have a different conversation.
I don't like this stat that they've never lost coming off of a bye. I don't enjoy that stat. 5-0.
Yeah. Well, that's what tends.
It's just reality.
It's reality.
But you know what? Those things don't matter. They're all independent acts.
Let me tell you something. If they were to win five, this will be an interesting conversation because all right. So now we've got them to an 8-win season, which would be. Bordering miraculous, I think, at this point to say that. But let's say for the sake of discussion, they got there. And now the draft conversation comes up. You'll have enough people saying, well, they screwed it up. Now they put themselves, they did just enough to offer this sense of promise and hope of their team. But how are they going to get better? Well, if they won five more games, this quarterback that they got playing probably would have a lot to do with it. The guy was in our studio a little earlier. So you're going to feel good about him for at least maybe another year. And you got Brian Hoyer coming back healthy. So maybe in a somewhat questionable, we just heard Todd McShay say this, that quality, don't mistake depth for quality in this quarterback draft. Maybe we could talk ourselves into thinking that, hey, you can get the receiver, maybe get the lineman or receivers, lineman in this draft, O-lineman in this draft, maybe some back-end defensive help among these 10 picks. And you've taken eight wins to something good going forward. But if that quarterback position is still what it probably might be at the end of the year, which is to say, what is it and who is going to be the long-term guy, eight wins might not be the best thing for this team. In fact, it would be the worst possible thing.
Yes, I'm not gonna get into this too much. Yes, because I want to see.
Come on.
I don't know what I want to see, Notorious. I got to be honest. I don't know what I want to see. I'm conflicted because I want to see this team do well and be competitive, but I also want to see it in the best position to build what they want to build.
Can I say this for the record? And this is not to throw anybody under the bus, but before the season.
I've already been thrown under the bus once.
I know. Carly's thrown you under at least once today. But you were stoked about an 8-8 type of season before the season. You were a fired up, happy guy looking at that. So you didn't let yourself get clouded by all this quarterback thought.
No, I've been. I'm clouded. Yeah.
Now I'm
clouded. I'm conflicted. I'm a conflicted man. But I'll tell you what. I wanted this team, and I still want this team. And the way that we went through that just there, they should get that. The ability to play some meaningful games in December, because I think with two first-round picks, they're still going to be able to get quality players. And listen, the fact of the matter is, if Todd McShay is right, and that is that the depth of this quarterback group should not be confused with quality, and that there really is only one guy who is of that level at the top, the Browns are likely not getting him, even if they lose the remainder of their games.
Right.
Even if this is a team that goes 3-13, they're not going to get Mariota
anyway. And Jacksonville
won't
take any deal.
It doesn't matter.
Kinda,
they need him.
They need
it won't
desperately.
Matter. So maybe having a good team, building a little bit of culture of winning, getting in the mid, and still getting one of those guys that's going to be there and making sure that these people make the right decision, adding a receiver to that. All of a sudden, you have a team that's been able to win, has tasted success. The defense has played very well. You have a bridge quarterback in either Jason Campbell or Brian Hoyer who can help educate and bring along this new guy. And all of a sudden, we're dancing in the streets. There's an Ojou-filled truck out there, an F-150 from Liberty Ford.
Yeah, we're dipping roast beef sandwiches in that parking lot. That would be nirvana, I think. So I think the end here, let's make a call on this because we got way off course. We didn't get off course, but we kind of did. But your question simply, five wins or not, and I think we're gonna call it fiction because we're stretching to say five. We're probably crazy to say five at this point. I know I'd feel a little loopy.
They might be able to play for it, though. That game at Pittsburgh could be to win the fifth.
To win a fifth. We're going to give them four, though, Dino. Okay. Are we going to comfortably give them? No, we're going to give them uncomfortably give them four through the rest of the way.
Uncomfortably.
That means just, maybe.
Okay.
It's a non-committal four, but we can. We played the silly schedule game.
We did that in part two. And we only did that because
after further review,
we needed to do it. So
that's right.
Yeah. All right.
I love this segment.
What else do we need to do? We need to take calls.
We need to talk to Gerard.
We need to
break. Oh, yeah, Gerard. We've held him up. Oh, yep. No. We're on schedule with him.
Right? Yeah,
216-578-0850. I'm all about the schedule. No, I'm not. Much more is coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan and his Ojou-filled F-150, Ford F-150, out in the parking lot. Vic Carucci, ESPN 850, WKNR.